Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Redford, Michigan, of Mexican descent. He began working at age 15 as a dishwasher and spent 22 years in the restaurant industry. In 1995, he joined his brother Frank in the Ideal Group. Today, he's the CEO of the Ideal Group, which consists of six separate business units, from design-build work to supply chain solutions. It's one of the largest Hispanic-owned companies in America and has been awarded the General Motors Supplier of the Year 23 times. His name, Lauren Venegas. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Lauren Venegas, the CEO of the Ideal Group. Lauren, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you very much, Jack. I appreciate the intro, and glad to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood, your mom and your dad, please?
Yeah, of course. So my mother and father, we grew up in Redford, Michigan. My father was originally from Detroit, down in southwest Detroit. My grandparents on my father's side came over from Mexico in the early 1900s, 17 or 18, I believe it was, and started to work for Ford Motor Company at the Rouge plant. And so my grandfather was there for a little over 40 years. My dad was there, followed his footsteps at the Rouge plant, and was there for 38 years. So we've got a lot of automotive in our blood, and it's a real nice thing. My mother was born and raised in Pennsylvania, Clearfield, Pennsylvania, and she was working in the pharmaceutical industry here in Detroit and met my father.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Dad, Lauren, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom?
Well, I think for my father, it was making sure you do the right thing every day, right? Treat people as you are treated and how you like to be treated. My mother, it's about, you know, entrepreneurship. And she was a seamstress after being married and got out of the pharmaceutical business and was a seamstress and worked for a lot of people within the community. So it really taught you about, you know, how to work with people, your community, and really to drive hard, really to work hard in what you can do and how you can do things the best way possible.
Let's go back 1973. You're 15 years old. You go to work as a dishwasher for $2.09 an hour for a guy named Chuck Muir.
Yeah, that was, that was out of need, right? It's out of getting a job and making sure you put money in your pocket. And fortunately, working for Chuck Muir and an organization that at that time had five restaurants when I started, and worked in Dearborn at the Sundog. And I was fortunate to work for a company that was growing. And when I left them many years later, we had 34 restaurants, but I had the opportunity at a young age to learn a lot in the kitchen. By the time I was 22, I was a kitchen manager of one of his restaurants in Farmington Hills. But it taught me entrepreneurship. He was an entrepreneur. He was not only that, but he was very, 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 very good at putting teams together. And as a restaurant business, you had to have a good team to make a successful restaurant. But he also was very, very community is a very community activist here in Detroit. And if my memory serves me right, he was one of the chairs of the Detroit Chamber of Commerce back in the day. So he really, really promoted Detroit and promoted things within the area of Detroit and Detroit suburbs, and him putting his restaurants in different places, starting in the Detroit area, was something that I learned a lot about community and naturally how to run a restaurant and how to run a business. Because you got to be profitable to do things that you like to do in the community, and that really has helped me a lot in the position I'm in today.
All right, you started out as a dishwasher, $2.09. You got into the kitchen. Now with Deborah, do you cook for her? Do you still wash dishes for her? And what does she pay you to wash the dishes?
Yeah, I do all the above, Jack. She says she's not much of a cook. She has her talents as in the kitchen, but I do most of the cooking. I love seafood. That's one of my specialties, and I do clean up. We are always taught in a restaurant, you got to clean up as you go. So that's kind of an easy one for me, and she enjoys it. So that's the most important thing. And, she's been my wife. We're going on 25 years this year.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Chuck Muir?
The biggest thing I learned was, really team, making sure everybody's working together, and making sure that the team is in the right spots where they need to be. Because you can really promote people within, maybe in the not totally the right position. So it's really about making sure that the people are in the right position to do the job that they need to do, but really creating a team. And then, in the restaurant business, there's a lot of dollars involved. There's a lot of things going on there. So you have to have processes. And Chuck Muir was one of the early ones to put processes together as far as, how many hours you need for your cooks, how many hours you need for your wait staff, how many hours you need for all the positions in the restaurants, and keeping an eye on that. And then, food cost. Food cost is a big piece of a restaurant. So you got to have your cost in order. And it's all about portion control, and it's all about having the quality that you have to have to get the people back. Because, Chuck Muir was one that he didn't do a lot of outside advertising. It was a lot of advertising from word of mouth. And that was one of the most important things that he really stressed. So those are some of the really big things that I learned from him, and naturally taking care of the customer. If you don't have a customer, you don't have a business. And we were always told at Chuck Muir, our patrons customers. They were our guests, and we treated them as our guests, and how you treat them at your own home. And that went a long way. And so he really created a really, really good culture within the Chuck Muir family, as we'll call.
We lost Chuck Muir and his wife Betty and another couple, George and Lynn Drummy, on March 13th, 1993. Famously, they were on the yacht coming back from Bermuda to Miami, never found the yacht. That was over 30 years ago. And we're with Lauren Venegas, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula. We're with Lauren Venegas. You leave Chuck Muir, and from 86 to 89, you're with a restaurateur by the name of Norman LePage.
Correct. Norman was looking to grow his restaurants, he had, if I remember at the time, two or three at the time, and he was looking to get a little larger and open some restaurants up in town and outside of town. So he picked, I got an opportunity and offered some work with Norman to open a place in, it was over in Southfield, Northwestern Franklin. If you remember, the restaurant's called Norm's Oyster Bar and Grill.
Oh, yes.
Today, yeah. I believe it's Big Alora.
Yes.
That is located today.
But it became El Posto for a while with
that's
Johnny.
Correct.
Remember?
El Posto, correct, yeah.
But you guys had the Big Rock at Eaton and Maple,
mm-hmm,
in Birmingham.
Yep, it was the Big Rock, and I got a chance to get over there. And, my job was to, again, take my experience from Chuck Muir and to help Norm, organize the restaurants and get ready and hire people to open some new ones. And so it was a wonderful opportunity as well.
All right. You spent 23 years, Lauren, working in the restaurant and food services sectors. What did that teach you about running the Ideal Group?
Yeah, so go back to the organizational skills that you have to have in the restaurant business, and creating a team, right? Making sure the team's all working together, and systems, cost, and making sure that you're treating your guest, your customers properly. And so that really taught me a tremendous amount of that because, you know, I got working for Frank initially in the Ideal Shield business. It was a brand new product. It was out for about a year and a half. It had the opportunity to go everywhere in the United States. So that was a great opportunity for me to get involved with that.
You mentioned Frank.
Correct.
He's known as the Padrino, which is Godfather in Spanish. He's also the Man of Steel in Southwest Detroit. And most famously, he's your brother.
Yeah.
Tell us about Frank Venegas.
Yeah, great. Well, so Frank's always been an entrepreneur all of his life, right? He's always been digging into different things. It's a great story how he started Ideal. It was in 1979. He was in Livingston County working for another steel company. And he was 24, 25 years old, got an opportunity to go to a Livingston County dinner. It's $150 a ticket. His boss didn't want to pick up the $150, so he says, I'm going to do it. At the end of the night, they danced, they sang, and the first prize was a 1979 Cadillac Coupe de Ville d'Elegance. And he ended up walking away with that night, actually driving away with that night. So he won the Cadillac. 2.5 weeks later, he sold it for $12,000, took the savings that he had in the bank, and started Ideal Steel. He originally started out in the Livingston County area, and today our headquarters is in Southwest Detroit. But Frank is a visionary. He has a heart of gold. He has one of the biggest hearts that I know. And he's a very giving guy and has a lot of thoughts on where and how things can get better for everybody.
All right. In 1995, you leave the restaurant food services industry after almost a quarter of a century. And you join your brother at the Ideal Group. Why?
Well, you know, like I said, it was a brand new company he was starting, a brand new product. Actually, the company wasn't started. It was a division of Ideal Steel. And it was the craziest product in the world. It was a plastic sleeve that goes over bumper posts or bollards that some people will say. And my best way to explain it is you see them at a bank, you see them at a drive-through a restaurant, you see them at the Costco's, and he came up with the idea to put them over those posts instead of painting them. And I thought it was the craziest idea in the world, but I would talk to him while I was in Indianapolis working in the food business, and he goes, "Wow, you're looking at all this stuff." He goes, "Why don't you go give it a shot?" And so I really thought it was a super clever product. It was a guardrail product along with that was an industrial guardrail for the automotive. So I took the opportunity and went after it. I just thought it was a really cool product. I thought there was a tremendous amount of opportunity to the product. And I said, I'll give it a go. And so I was one of the first guys him and another fella had been pounding the street along with running the Ideal Steel Company. And that gave me some inspiration of really taking it out there all around the country and really getting it exposed. And today, this product is now about 17. We have about 17 products in the company of Ideal Shield, and we're really doing a great job protecting people. We've really stepped it up into building protection, government protection. A lot of different higher education and education buildings, because as we know that there's a lot of people out there running into buildings, whether it's by accident or on purpose, and we've got to protect that.
All right, the Ideal Shield.
Correct.
30 years ago, okay. What do you sell, like 100 a day?
Oh, thousands and thousands a day now, Jack.
Each day,
yeah,
friends, each day they sell 4,000 to 5,000 each day. Red ones, yellow ones, green ones, different sizes. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Frankie came up with the idea. Okay. Another thing Frank did is he, just south of the old GM Clark plant, that's where he said, we're going to go. And it was run by gangs, rival gangs. He went to four rival gangs, the leaders, and said, you got to leave my people alone. What do I have to do you know, to make sure you don't touch my people. And they said, we want a couple of things. We want a gym. We want you to hire 80 of each of our gang members, etc. That would never work, Lauren. Hiring 80 different gang members from four different gangs. What happened?
Well, you know, and the other thing is that they were tired of seeing, I think, the violence in their own neighborhood. And as they also said, is that we don't want our little brothers and sisters doing what we did. We don't want them following our steps. And so they also wanted us to not go anywhere. You know, they said, we don't want you to go anywhere. We've had lots of opportunities and people come in and people leave. But it was something that they said, we want opportunity and we want you to stay. And so with that, we found that some made it into a real career for us. And several people went out and did other careers by just understanding that you can come in, you can work at a job, you can get paid on a weekly basis. And the cool thing that we've always been taught, and we were always fortunate as we were growing up, my brother and I, and our family, my other brothers as well, but as my dad worked at Ford Motor Company, we had health insurance. We took that for granted. We just always had it. But something that we take a lot of pride in, now all of a sudden these folks have health insurance. And they really didn't know what it was. And it's like, no, you get to go and check yourself out. You can, you know, this is a benefit for yourself. I will tell you that they found themselves liking each other and really putting the guns away and putting the differences away. I will tell you that people now can walk the streets in Southwest Detroit much better than they could 20 years ago. I mean, it's gotten so much better in the last 10, 15 years. It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. The motto of this show was, with God, anything is possible. You guys live that every day. When we come back, we're going to talk about how and why. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Lauren Venegas. In 1995, he joined his brother Frank at the Ideal Group. They were about $6 million when you joined them. Today, $500 million, seven states, 750 employees, many different divisions. Over 300 of your people are of Hispanic descent. You believe in these people? The jobs that some of them hold, you know, senior leadership jobs are unbelievable. Please.
Well, it goes back to opportunity, Jack. You know, having the opportunities and having a product to manufacture, to build, to service, and ultimately it's the customer. You got to have the right product. You got to have a meaningful product. You have to have value for the customer. And when the customer knows that, and you can prove that to them, and you do a good job doing it, you work hard doing it, and it goes back to the team I've been talking about. We have a great team that has put that together for so many years. And that's super, super important to be able to grow like that. But, you know, it's not all about growth. It's about managed growth. It's about doing the work properly, making sure it gets done properly. And actually, you got to collect your money. And at the end of the day, we are not a nonprofit, but we need to make money doing what we like to do. And a good part of that, in which you're aware of, Jack, we talked a little bit about, we do a lot for the community with our proceeds. And that's important to give back to the community for sure.
I believe you have 80 plus patents.
We do.
Many of them have come from Frank. The guy's an Einstein.
Yeah. Not all from Frank, no.
He says they're all from
Frank. I know. Okay. He'll tell you that all day long.
So, all right. 23 times you've been named the GM Supplier of the Year. Michael Phelps won 23 gold medals. He's the GOAT. 23 times GM's named you the Supplier of the Year. How?
Doing the work.
If I can make a little joke,
yeah,
they've never let you raise your prices in those 23
yeah.
years.
Yeah. Well, it's all about value, Jack. You know, you pay for value. But no, it's been General Motors has been a great partner of ours. We've been able to collaborate as far as what's right and what's the right thing to do for our businesses, to work together, how we can improve General Motors' business as a team. I keep going back to the team because your customer is your team, your employees are your team, and so being able to do that and have the right product and frankly, as we've been growing, General Motors is one of the best companies we have here in the Detroit area. I mean, they've been around for over 100 years. They've been a big supporter of our initiatives in the community. Their culture aligns with ours, so it makes it easy to work with a customer that that aligns with you as well as they do. And so we just keep working as hard as we can and coming up with different ideas and solutions that can make General Motors better. And at the same time, it makes us better too. And when you can grow your business like that, you're creating more opportunities for your people.
Lauren, whenever I go to your headquarters on Clark Street, you know, in Mexicantown, and walk through the plant with you, your brother, Sylvia, I'm amazed at the youth, young people. A lot of people today think that young people don't want to work, don't have the right values. How do you get these young people to work so hard?
Culture, you know. I will tell you, culture is everything. I mean, you know, people like to work with people that they like, right? We don't go around saying we're the owners of the company. We are part of the team. And growing up and building that company, we did just about everything that everybody's doing, right? So, again, Jack, there's a formula of making sure that you're creating opportunity not only within your business, but creating opportunity for people to grow and make a purpose in community. I mean, again, we fortunate to be in that Southwest Detroit area. It's mostly Hispanic. We're Hispanic. And it gives us an opportunity to do stuff not only within our company and providing to our customers, but it's our park, it's our garden, and other things that we can help out in mentoring smaller businesses within our community to help them grow.
It's the Ideal Group. www.weareideal.com.
Correct.
www.weareideal.com. You've been there for 30 years. You've watched the thing grow from 6 million to over 500 million. What's amazed you the most, Lauren, in these 30 years?
Well, that's a big question, Jack. I guess, you know, after 30 years now, we've been watching people retire. And I guess that's kind of really, really cool to have people work with us for so many years and see them retire. And running with their retirement, they've enjoyed their career with us, and that's really, really humbling and really nice to see. And the other thing we do too is we have our 5-year and 10-year and 15-year and 20-year anniversaries, and we make that. And that's super important. It's super important to the individual, and so we do something special for those anniversaries.
All right, let's change subject. Let's talk about Michelle, your 36-year-old daughter, please.
So my daughter Michelle, a little over 9 years ago, She got a rare disease, and it was the Good Pastures disease. And she was young and really very, very vibrant. And she sits about 4'7", and she's about 110 pounds. And she got this disease, and it took her kidneys out. And not only took one, but it took both of them out. Very, very sudden, very quickly. Actually, she thought she had the flu, and it went on a little over a week. She went to the hospital. She was living in Tampa. And fortunately for the doctor that was there, the nephrologist that they checked her out, they found out that was that disease. So it was really unfortunate. And so she had to go on dialysis for just about 3 years, 2.5 years. And they had to get the disease out to get a new, you know, before they could get an opportunity to put a new kidney in. Crazy enough, my wife, as I said, I was before, I was married, I've been married for 25 years. I got three stepchildren. My oldest stepchild, Justin, had a match. We all got ourselves checked, and he was about a 95, 97% match. So he gave a kidney up to my daughter. And that was one of the greatest days of our lives, right?
And you've since been board member, Kidney Foundation of Michigan, currently the secretary. Tell us about Kidney Foundation of Michigan.
Yeah, the Kidney Foundation of Michigan, they're based out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. You know, our mission is to help prevent kidney disease any way we possibly can. There's a lot of different ways of doing that, right? There's about 1 in 7 people in Michigan that have kidney disease, and most don't know it. There's more than 16,000 people on dialysis in Michigan today, about 2,000 people looking for a transplant. By the way, while I was talking about the Kidney Foundation, we have our kidney walk at the zoo, and that's a big program that we're having on May 18th, and I'm the co-chair along with my good friend Paul Glantz, the co-founder of the Imagine Theaters. So please come out and join us, and we'll have thousands of people there, and it'll be a great walk and for a great cause for sure.
If you want to learn more, www.nkfm.org, nkfm.org. Southwest Detroit. The community is really a mission for you and Frank and your entire team. When we come back, we're going to talk about that ministry that you do for Mexican Village. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WGI.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club, developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohon. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Lauren Venegas, the CEO of the Ideal Group. Okay, Southwest Detroit. Hispanic community, 120,000 people. Starts at Michigan Avenue, Dearborn, to the train station. You, Frank, your entire team, angels. First, Cristo Rey High School.
Cristo Rey High School it's a gem in the community. It's a high school that, as they say, it's a school that goes to work, right? And the kids actually go to a place of business once a week and twice a month. Instead of paying the children, we put the money, and the money goes towards the school. It's funded by about 65% of businesses. I mean, there's from General Motors to major hospitals, University of Michigan. Many large businesses,
law firms, accounting firms,
and I will tell you, it's a wonderful school. It gives the kids the opportunity to go and see what opportunities are there out for them, and it's 100% graduation rate for the last since we formed the school 14 years ago.
And many of the kids have gone to the military and or Dartmouth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Amazing.
Correct.
And you employ, I think, hundreds of them that graduated from there.
We do.
So okay. Sister Kateri, Holy Redeemer Elementary School.
Yeah, she's a wonderful, wonderful lady that's really takes hold of that school. I will tell you that is Frank's dearest. You got to start them young to really get their minds right and to get them into education. And the feeder school is Cristo Rey. It's just a perfect opportunity because it's right on the premises of Junction and Verner. The school is teaching medical classes at an early age. There's a medical room there. They're getting into robotics there. They're getting into early learning of many different things. It's really paying attention to the kids. Something we've been able to do is because we are in the construction business, we're able to really help with the school and make it a school that the bathrooms are working properly, the school is air conditioned, the floors are redone. So it gives them an environment that they can respect, along with great learning from that school.
All right, let's go back to 2014, 10 years ago, and you guys start the DHDC Clubhouse.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, Frank was the grandfather of that. I think they call him the grandfather, the grand poopa. But he was one, along with Angie Reyes, who, and some others naturally as well, really had a vision there to bring people off the streets and do teaching. And they do many different skills of training there. But one of them is for the kids in the community is Robotics Engineering Center Detroit. And it's going to have its 10th anniversary. And we're going to have a celebration on January 17th from 6 to 8. And it's going to be at the location on Trumbull. So if you can make it, we'd love to have you.
Started in 2014, and early in January of 2015, the first group of Hispanic kids went to the state robotics competition.
They sure did.
They beat Cranbrook, Grosse Pointe, all the best teams in the state. Today, 10 years later, 15 teams, 6 to 20 students each, and GM has been a huge part of this as well.
They have. It takes the corporations and the companies to support what we're doing. And you're correct. General Motors has. FANUC has been a big help as well. Literally, some of the FANUC engineers have now retired and are still over there helping out and giving their time. So it's a great success for us. And thank you for the accolades. a gym.
All right. Then you've got this Clark Street Park.
Yeah.
With the hockey rink, et cetera.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That was a park that, you know, when we got there, you know, when we opened our headquarters up down there, it was a really rough park. There was a lot of work needed to be done there. But nobody gave up. The community didn't give up. I guess it was 4 or 5 years ago, my nephew, Jesse Venegas, was on a mission to help the park as well. He's a hockey player, so he's done fundraising tournaments there for several years. But one of the big things he saw there was no lights. There was no walking lights there. He got DTE, Wayne County, the state of Michigan, Ideal, and some of our partners at Ideal, some of our subcontractors to help out. And now there is a walking lights there, that park lights that most parks you wouldn't have any problem them being there. But here they weren't there for so many years, and now they're there today.
If the truth be known, and you guys don't want to say this, but you, Frank, the entire team, have donated millions of dollars to make that Southwest community fantastic. One more. The Cadillac Urban Garden.
Yeah, so it was a pretty large piece of property that we had fenced in. We got containers from General Motors that they were scrapping, and we made raised garden beds. And we now have about 150 raised garden beds yearly there. And the community, it serves the community. And the community's there to pick their vegetables, their peppers. We introduced them to many other vegetables, including eggplant, which was kind of strange, but they love it. And it's been a real success. And we get volunteers from all over the state to help out with the process of our gardening and our employees, and it's been a wonderful gig.
Lauren, thanks for coming. I don't know if you've ever been referred to as this, but you and Frank are angels for the Hispanic community. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.